ORG.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 45 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
I've seen the formula. I'm uneasy about the formula. I think some universities are going to be harmed by that.
Moorhead's representative is not happy with the new tax plan.
Thousands of teachers rallied in the state capitol today.
Kentucky's governor is threatening to veto a budget passed today in Frankfort.
Moorhead State alumni have agreed to donate $3.5 million for student scholarships.
Carter County has a new E911 director.
In sports, Michigan and Villanova face off for the NCAA National Championship tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 40% chance of rain tonight with a low around 49 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Police say a Prestonsburg man wanted on drug and gun charges was found hiding in a motel room bathtub late Saturday night. According to WYMT, 39-year-old Jody Carroll was arrested at the Super 8 Motel in Prestonsburg. Police say he was found with methamphetamine and trafficking paraphernalia. Sergeant Austin King is with the Prestonsburg Police Department. He says a tip from Carroll's family led to the arrest.
We can try to be as proactive as possible, but without the help from the citizens who are seeing this firsthand, who are affected by it firsthand, we're not going to be 100% effective at our jobs without their help.
Carroll was wanted on several previous charges, including being a convicted criminal in possession of a handgun. He was taken to the Floyd County Detention Center.
A Pike County man has pled guilty to assisting a lawyer who went on the run after he pled guilty in a $500 million Social Security fraud scheme. A release from the U.S. Department of Justice says 48-year-old Curtis Lee Wyatt admitted Friday to one count of conspiracy to escape from custody. An indictment alleged Wyatt opened a bank account that the lawyer Eric Kahn used to transfer money. Wyatt also tested security at the Mexican border and bought a pickup truck for Kahn. Kahn was captured in December as he left a Pizza Hut in Honduras. Investigators say Kahn was on home confinement in June when he escaped by removing an electronic monitoring device from his ankle. Wyatt of Raccoon, Kentucky will be sentenced on June 29th in federal court.
An Eastern Kentucky congressman says federal officials have given the green light to build a prison in the Appalachian County hit hard by the coal industry's downturn. U.S. Representative Hal Rogers says the Federal Bureau of Prisons has signaled its intent to move forward with the project in Letcher County. The Republican congressman says he was notified of the agency's decision by Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Rogers says the prison is expected to have 300 to 400 employees. A 700-acre site on reclaimed mine land at Roxana has been chosen as the site for the prison. Federal officials will start acquiring the land, which is expected to take about a year.
Schools are closed across the Commonwealth today as teachers descended on the state capitol in protest of last-minute pension changes and a state budget they worry will deal another blow to public education. WUKY's Josh James filed this report from the state capitol.
Let me hear you say, find funding first!
Find funding first!
Teachers, students, state workers, and supporters blanketed the steps of the capitol and crammed the rotunda and hallways in one of the largest coordinated demonstrations Frankfort has seen in years, filling the building with chants of find funding first and we won't back down. Brian Harmon is a high school art teacher in Campbell County. He says he and his colleagues have reached a breaking point.
I've been teaching for 16 years and just seeing the funding dwindle and dwindle, and then to have a government just come in and propose a budget that can just devastate the schools for our students. People accuse us of fighting for our own raises and our own benefits, but I'm really fighting for my students.
The crowds are gathering as lawmakers work to craft a two-year state budget. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
Rowan County Superintendent of Schools Marvin Moore supports those teachers from his district who are in Frankfort today to rally with their counterparts from across the Commonwealth. Thousands of educators are in the state capitol to protest lawmakers' decision last week to push through a public pension reform bill. They're also demanding more money be put into Kentucky's new two-year budget for education. Governor Bevin's spending plan suggests making several cuts to the state's K through 12 schools, most notably in transportation. Moore approved the use of the Rowan District's buses to take teachers to today's rally.
Teachers asked because they asked not to bring cars down there because the parking is limited. So I told the RCEA presidents, co-presidents, Mary Beth Armstrong and James Hood, we would have a bus for them or buses, depending on how many people went to the rally.
Moore remains concerned about the possible state cuts to school transportation, saying the Rowan District's budget for the running its buses could increase by $650,000 a year.
Republican leaders revealed the majority party's proposed tax reform today, one day before the recess veto period. The plan would generate $238.8 million in the first year of the biennium and $248.1 million in fiscal year 2020, according to a scoring document provided to Spectrum News Pure Politics. The tax plan replaces the so-called revenue bill in the two-year budgeting process. In the free committee meeting this morning in Frankfurt, Senate Minority Floor Leader Ray Jones was critical of the process for which the plan was introduced.
We were asked to sign the free conference committee report. I didn't feel comfortable. I don't think the other members did. The members of our caucus have been excluded from this process for almost 10 days. We have been asked to vote or asked to sign a conference committee report on a bill that's 179 pages. You know, this is not the way this process was intended to work.
That sound courtesy of Kentucky Educational Television. GOP supermajorities in the Senate passed the budget today before the start of a 10-day veto recess. Lawmakers will have one day after the veto recess to attempt to pass additional legislation and override vetoes issued by the governor on Saturday, April 14th.
Governor Matt Bevin is threatening to veto budget and revenue bills, which have already passed the Senate today. Bevin was critical of the proposed budget, House Bill 200, and revenue plan, House Bill 366, after it passed the Senate. He is pushing for what he calls, quote, fiscally responsible budget, which does not kick the can down the road. According to WKYT, Bevin expressed concern that the bill may not meet the basic standards of fiscal responsibility. The Republican governor was previously complimentary of lawmakers' pension reform efforts, saying state retirement beneficiaries should be thankful for the legislators who passed Senate Bill 151.
A number of child protection bills were passed in the 2018 regular session, and Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Senator Whitney Westerfield of Hopkinsville couldn't be happier. Westerfield spoke to Spectrum News Pure Politics regarding the bills. He says there is a lot of terrible situations happening out there.
It's hard to recognize or see and understand evil, but it's clearly there. We see it. On the Senate Bill 137, we know that there are cases where just the most atrocious things have happened to young children, and that evidence isn't coming in. In Dallin Pollard's case, it's hard for us to hear it, but we know that there are parents out there and guardians out there that don't often have their child's best interests at heart.
Westerfield says he is happy to be a part of the process to help get these bills passed.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans on just about anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. Bypass Pawn on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead can be reached at 606-780-7296. Facebook and online at bypasspawn.com.
$3.5 million raised to build an alumni and welcome center at Moorhead State University will now go towards student scholarships. The decision to shift the focus of those donations was made in the fall, and MSU's Office of University Advancement was tasked with making sure those donors were willing to put the funds into scholarship endowments. Department Vice President Jim Shaw said 831 total donors were contacted, and 830 of them chose to convert the funds to student scholarships.
17 people have opted to create new scholarships. Now that means they've either committed to do $1,000 or more annually, or put at least $25,000 into an endowed scholarship. 19 were supporting existing scholarships and they chose to put their money in there. 86% chose to go to the general scholarship fund.
Donors who gave less than $500 were able to put those funds into that general scholarship endowment.
A Greenup County man is giving back to Morehead State University students. Terry McBrayer graduated from MSU in 1959. In return for his $100,000 donation, the University Board of Regents has announced the Terry McBrayer Presidential Lecture Series in Government and Leadership, slated for the fall of this year. McBrayer credits the university with instilling important principles that led to his success.
Show compassion, concern, solve little people's problems as well as big people's problems. I've always done that, and I think I learned that right here. And the circle comes full round because 60-some years later, I can come back and give a check, and I'm going to do more.
McBrayer hopes to see lectures take place that focus on Appalachia to help students relate to their immediate surroundings.
Another step in the process of finding a new superintendent for the Rowan County School System will happen when the committee tasked with screening the applicants for the post meets tomorrow night. Local school board chairman Rick Whalen also heads the screening panel. He says members of the committee in recent days have been taking in an intensive look at each of the candidates who submitted resumes for the position.
We did have 16 to start with, and we've narrowed the number down drastically, but until we present it to the board, we're just going to leave that number out there until we narrow it down to what we got after we do reference checks and everything.
Whalen says the screening committee hopes to submit a list of finalists for the post to the school board a week from this Tuesday. He adds things are still on track to hire a replacement for retiring Superintendent Marvin Moore around May 1st.
The City of Ashland's Police Department is looking to hire some new officers. According to Chief Todd Kelly, the APD wants to add 3 people who will have the opportunity to take on a variety of different roles with the force.
We have a SWAT team. We have different activities within the department, an honor guard and instructors and things of that nature, and also dedicated detectives. And it's just something that, we offer that, maybe some smaller agencies can't. And, of course, we think, we're competitive with pay.
Kelly says Ashland Police are looking for experienced officers or new ones willing to go through the training program. Applicants must be U.S. citizens, at least 21 years old, have a driver's license, a high school diploma, or GED, and have no prior felony convictions. For more information, you can call the APD at 606-329-2020.
The Carter County Fiscal Court is now approving bids for bridge replacement projects. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more.
According to the Daily Independent, the Carter Court discussed the issue during a special meeting last Monday and came to a consensus that replacing any damaged bridges would be more cost-efficient than performing temporary repairs. The magistrates okayed a plan to request bids for construction on a new bridge on Mallard Drive. This was the court's second meeting to discuss road and bridge repairs following a recent visit to Carter County by FEMA representatives who recently surveyed damage caused by heavy rains. Carter County continues to have issues finding money for road work in the wake of the state's decision to suspend emergency reimbursement for the county based on questions about outstanding reimbursements from years past. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, 40% chance of showers tonight, mostly cloudy and lows around 49 degrees. Tomorrow, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a high near 75 degrees. Tomorrow night, an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms, breezy with a low around 39. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 46 degrees, in Lexington 47, Ashland 46, Winchester 47, Inez 47, and here in Morehead, on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 45 degrees.
On our feature segment today, Carter Cave State Resort Park will host the 8th Annual Eastern Mining Artifact Show this Saturday. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
This is one of the largest shows east of the Mississippi River that has all kinds of antiques and collectibles dealing with the mining industry.
Carter Caves has been the home of the Mining Artifact Show since its inaugural event in 2010. Coy Ainsley, a naturalist at Carter Caves State Resort Park, has attended the show in the past.
It's a big collection. A lot of different vendors come out from all across the country to show off their antiques. And, of course, everything that is here could be sold or traded. They also, if folks have something at home that maybe they're not sure about, they can bring that in, and they will actually appraise mining-related items that you might have from the family.
The Eastern Mining Collectors Association has been providing those interested in mining artifacts an exposition and trade show for nearly a decade. Chris Hiker and Colin Gatland were avid cavers throughout the 80s and 90s, using carbide lamps to guide them through their expeditions. Hiker says their curiosity surrounding the history of these lamps and other artifacts prompted the founding of the EMCA.
It kind of became difficult for us to find those things except for a small group of collectors. Colin and I had been to some other mining collecting shows out west, and we thought that we needed one on the East Coast. But we wanted to put a show together so that people could have kind of a central place to come and look for resources and lamps and be able to buy, sell, and trade the things and learn about them.
With a large collection at every show, Hiker has a few interesting stories surrounding some of the equipment.
We had a gentleman bring in a type of miner's candlestick. This one was very elaborate. It had lots of German silver inlays and engraving to it. And fortunately, we had a collector that was there that was very, very well knowledgeable. And this turned out to be a Korean stick some of the mine owners would give to high-level employees to commemorate significant event at the mine.
Needless to say, Hiker says the owner of the candlestick left the show satisfied.
And these things were fairly valuable and quite rare. Not many had been known or found, and all of a sudden one shows up at our show at Carter Caves. And Leo was able to work a purchase agreement with the gentleman that brought it in, and his very surprised satisfaction, because I don't know that he knew exactly what he had when he brought it in. I think that was the reason he came and brought the item to the show to begin with.
As for this year's collector's show, expect the doors to open at 8:30 a.m. and last until 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, April 7th. The show will be held in the Fields Room of the Lodge at Carter Cave State Resort Park and is open to the public. For more information, you may contact Chris Hiker at 513-383-8954 or by email at smgcaver@gmail.com. For WMKY, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 448 and 45 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
A champ will be crowned. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Michigan and Villanova will battle for the 2018 College Basketball National Championship. It is Villanova's second time playing in the national title in the last 3 years, having won it back in 2016. Head coach Jay Wright says he thinks this year's team is the perfect mix of youth and experience.
Rather than being a real veteran team, you still got Phil Booth, McHale, and Jalen who know what they're doing. But it's a nice mix of youthfulness that continues to improve and experience that knows what they're doing out there.
Michigan last played in the national championship back in 2013, losing to Louisville. Head coach John Beilein says winning the game will be a great challenge for his team.
I just really feel blessed to be in this situation, and but also know there's a tremendous challenge ahead of us with Loyola, with what we have with Loyola and now Villanova. Just really a great example of how the game should be played, just like Loyola was. We got our challenges, and we're going to do everything we can to meet that challenge.
Tonight's title game tips off at 9:20. Ty Winyard is transferring from the University of Kentucky, the school announced this afternoon. The redshirt sophomore played in 23 games in his career for Kentucky, scoring 19 points and grabbing 27 rebounds. Winyard was limited in action this year with a back injury, followed by a suspension after it was reported he was attending campus parties with an armed bodyguard. Winyard was given a full release with no restrictions. Also from college basketball, Cincinnati junior Jacob Evans will declare for the 2018 NBA draft, but will not hire an agent, leaving the possibility of returning to school open. Michigan State freshman Jaren Jackson Jr. announced today that he will enter the NBA draft and has hired an agent. Jackson is a projected top five pick by most mock drafts. And Kentucky's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is expected to announce his decision tomorrow afternoon. The Cincinnati Reds are back in action right now, hosting the Chicago Cubs up at Great American Ballpark. After losing all three games of their season opening series at home against Washington, skipper Brian Price's Reds are trying to get things on track.
If you're 0-3 and you end up winning 90 games and nobody really gives a darn that you start out 0-3. But we got to, you know, it's a long season. It's a long season. It's frustrating, but certainly not to the point where anyone's going to be down.
Currently up in the Queen City, the Cubs and Reds are tied at 0 in the second inning. Other games from around baseball, Detroit beat Kansas City 6-1 earlier today. Pittsburgh is up on Minnesota 5-4 in the ninth inning. And the Cardinals are up on the Brewers 8-4 in the bottom of the eighth. It was a good weekend for the Morehead State softball team. Behind senior infielder Ellen Barrett's 5-for-5 day at the plate, which included a two-run homer, the Eagles on Friday swept an OVC doubleheader from Tennessee State by scores of 6-0 and 2-1. Coach David Williams says his team as a whole did a lot of good things.
I thought we got two great pitching performances out of both McManaway and Rager. Combined 6 total hits given up for the day and over 20 strikeouts between both of them as well. I feel like they did a really good job. Defense played well behind them, one error in two games. And we put the ball in play well all day offensively.
Now at 18-8 overall, 2-2 in the conference, the softball Eagles step away from OVC play on Wednesday to play a twin bill at Northern Kentucky. Meanwhile, senior pitcher Chelsea McManaway received the honors of Ohio Valley Conference Pitcher of the Week after striking out 15 batters during one of Saturday's wins over Tennessee State. It's the second time this season McManaway has won the award. The Morehead State soft baseball team dropped 2 of 3 weekend games at Kansas. After the two teams split a pair of extra inning games, the Jayhawks roared to a 12-0 rout of the Eagles in Saturday's series finale. MSU coach Mike McGuire's ball club had just 4 hits in that game, and he hopes his players learn some key lessons in facing the Big 12 foe.
You know, when we get back in this scenario again, we got to understand we got to have more productive outs, more productive at bats, and understand that each miscue, you know, really hurts against a good club like this.
The 16-13 baseball Eagles are back at Allen Field tomorrow night at 5 to entertain Marshall. As his Eagles continue spring practices, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier likes the look of his offensive line. Tenier says he has a very versatile group there.
I think we've got a really athletic offensive line. I feel like we can move really well. We're good at pass protection. We're changing up a little bit schematically how we block and how we read our run game, and I think it's going to make us better, and I think we got some really good pieces to work with.
The MSU football team is beginning its second week of spring drills. They'll wrap things up on April the 21st with their annual blue-white inter-squad game. Two men vying for the starting quarterback job got a chance to show what they could do in Kentucky's football team's weekend full-contact scrimmage. At this point, Coach Mark Stoops says sophomore Gunnar Hoke and JUCO transfer Terry Wilson are sharing the reps on UK's number one offense. Stoops says much of that is because of the Wildcats' lack of depth at certain other positions.
We really can use 200 plays out there, but we're too thin at certain spots to do that. You know, because the quarterbacks need the live reps as many as we can get. But we try to even that out. But Gunner starts, yes, the first 2 or 3 series, and then Terry gets some with the ones as well.
UK is starting its third week of spring practices. Finally, in sports, former New York Jets and New York Giants quarterback Geno Smith has reached an agreement on a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Chargers. According to ESPN, New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski is still weighing his options, but is leaning towards returning to the Patriots next season instead of retiring. And the attorney for Philadelphia Eagles defensive end Michael Bennett says his client will enter a not guilty plea if his felony case on charges of injury to the elderly goes to trial. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Baseball hosts UT Martin at Sunny Allen Field this weekend. Game times are 5 p.m. on Friday, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. Sunday. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. On the first trading day of April, the market had a very rough time of it thanks to a combination of anxiety about a trade war and fears about the tech industry getting hit with regulation. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 458.92 at 23,644.19. The S&P 500 was down 58.99 at 2581.88. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 193.33 at 6870.12. And as mentioned, tech was under pressure today. And in particular, Amazon was very much pressured after President Donald Trump tweeted over the weekend that Amazon was scamming the U.S. Postal Service, adding that the service loses billions of dollars delivering packages for the e-commerce giant. And Amazon was down 5% in trading today. And, of course, Amazon stock has been one of the best performers over the past year, rising nearly 64%. The S&P 500 index itself dropped into correction territory, with the tech sector by itself falling 2.5%. Also, the S&P 500 index closed below its 200-day moving average, which is a key technical level, for the first time since June 2016. Facebook, Netflix, and Alphabet, which of course is the parent for Google, all closed sharply lower, dropping 2.8%, 5.1%, and 2.4% respectively. Last month, concerns over how Facebook handles data collection collected from its users sent the entire sector lower, and Facebook shares dropped 10.4% just by themselves in the month of March. Snap stock also fell 8.9% after a downgrade from a broker noting it found students were uniformly disapproving of the company's app redesign. Intel dropped 6.1% after it was reported that Apple would use its own chips for Mac computers, in effect ditching Intel. And, of course, over the weekend, China announced it had implemented tariffs on 128 types of U.S. imports. And these come as a direct response to President Trump signing off on tariffs on imported steel and aluminum last month. In economic news, the IHS Market U.S. Manufacturing PMI rose to 55.6 in the month of March, its highest level since 2015. The ISM Manufacturing Index reached 59.3 for the month of March. Economists had expected the number to hit 60. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.8% at $63.11 a barrel. Gold was up 1.38% at $1,345.90 an ounce. In Asia, stocks were mixed, with the Nikkei down 0.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.25%. Most markets in Europe were closed for the Easter holiday. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and McDonald's, while the worst performers were Intel and Cisco. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Humana and United Health Group, and the worst performers were Nektar Therapeutics and Alaska Air Group. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.39 at $68.40, CSX down 97 cents at $54.74, AEP down 32 cents at $68.27, Marathon Petroleum down $1.33 at $71.78, AK Steel down 12 cents at $4.41, and Community Trust Bank was down 60 cents to finish at $44.60. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, Cody Robinson, Peyton Stewart, Tilden Johnson, and Braxton Howard. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All things considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.